Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is mighty and worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. It's so good to be here this morning, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here once again. It's been 5 years, and we were all talking about last night how it really didn't seem like that long. But I'm just thankful to be here with you today and give God all the praise, honor, and glory. And we bring greetings from our fellowship, our congregation down in Texas. They all say, Howdy! Oh, I love to do that, especially in England. It's like... it's good to be here, and I appreciate Pastor Elmore and Pastor Downey and all the good people here and your generosity towards me and my family. Thank you so much. Today we're going to be speaking on a subject which I am going to entitle this, Choose You This Day. And you could call it Seek First the Kingdom. But choose you this day. Let's all turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The first thing we are to seek, the priority in our lives, each life of a Christian, is seek first the kingdom of God. And a lot of people don't even think about the kingdom of God. Seek first. Your priority should be seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's a pretty high standard of righteousness, amen? His righteousness. And we all know our righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible tells us this. And if you know yourself, you know that your righteousness is as filthy rags. Because no matter how good you think you are, I know in my own personal life, I'm always falling short. And that's just the nature of who we are. We're always going to fall short. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's glorious high standard ideal. We all fall short. We must seek after his righteousness. We must try to be like him. And really the only way we can do that is with his help. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God. A lot of people seek other things first. They may seek their career first. They want to get top to the top of the ladder in their profession. And that is their seeking first. They seek that first. They're not doing things the way they're supposed to. They should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm going to say it probably a few more times because I want it to sink in. We must seek him first. Seek him first. And then everything else that we will ever need will be provided. If we put him first, we'll be okay. You might think, well, I don't know. I got to put my job first. My job requires me to work on Sunday or the day that I go to church, and I just can't go to church. Well, I just can't go to church. I got to provide for my family. The Bible says I got to provide for my family. Seek the kingdom of God first. And his righteousness also first, twofold. And then all these other things will be added unto you. I have heard people tell me, Pastor, I put this into practice. And I thought I had to go to work. And I just told my boss, I can't do it. I can't. I need to go to church. I told him that. He said, I understand and I appreciate that. And I commend you. But you cannot work here because I need you to work on Sunday. So they would be fired because of that. And then they would get lo and behold, they get a better job. More money, better relationship with the boss. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else will be taken care of. So that's our springboard text this morning, and I would ask you at this time to pray with me. Our Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together with these like-minded believers here on this Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for the love and the fellowship that we have here. Thank you, Lord, for the good music, the praise, the worship. Thank you for the sweet spirit that is in this place. We know that it is your presence. Lord, this morning I pray that we would hear from you. Because, Lord, this morning, if we leave here having heard from Ken Kimball, we will leave with nothing. But if we leave here having heard from you by your precious Holy Spirit, we will leave with a treasure. We will leave with our lives changed for the better. And that's what we want. So, Lord God, please anoint these lips of clay to preach your words and your words only. That you would be exalted, that I would decrease. In Jesus Christ's name, speak to us by your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have you noticed how the world is changing? Who could help but notice? It's a totally different world. Those of you who are my age and older, it's a totally different world than the world we grew up in. I remember when I was in elementary school, the Bible was read and prayer was prayed. Prayers were made in the classroom, in public school. It's a totally different world. Now, they don't do that anymore. You can't pray. You can't read your Bible. Teachers are chastised if they bring a Bible into class. You can't do that. We would be endorsing a religion if you do that. The world has gone crazy. Absolutely crazy. Stark raving mad. I remember in first grade, my teacher quizzes, what are the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All the children knew it. And even though prayer had been taken out of school years prior to that, there were still a lot of teachers that said, we're not going to do that. We're going to do things the old way. And they refused. And there were so many of them that they did it. They just did it, even though it was technically against the law. But as those teachers retired and the new teachers came up, why, it's just totally different. Totally different. There's nothing sacred anymore. There's new standards and new morals, if you can call them morals. The new immorality. I mean, anything goes. You can talk about anything in public, and they do. And I've got to protect, I've got children, and I've got to protect them from these things that would defile them. And it's hard. It gets harder and harder all the time, but I try my best, and I'm raising my children, I think, in a good way. I'm raising them according to the Word of God. But you've got to protect your children. And there's so much out there to protect them from now. It's getting to be quite a task. And no matter how hard you try, occasionally something will get past your notice. So you just got to cover them with prayer. But the world has gone completely crazy. It's new standards, new morals, as I said, if you can call them morals. No regard for the old ways at all. And honestly, if you look at the world today, or America and all the many nations of Israel, they're becoming whereas they were Christian nations, the Christian nations of the world, those were the Israelite nations. America, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, all the many nations of Israel were called Christian nations. But now they are becoming anti-Christian. Anti-Christian. Here in America, we still say, God bless America. But what do our actions say? Our actions say, we hate the Bible. We hate the Lord Jesus Christ. We hate God. We don't want to have anything to do with Christian morals. So does it really fit to say, God bless America? Does it really fit to say, I pledge allegiance to the one nation under God, indivisible. Now, they added that to the pledge. I don't know if you knew that, but they added that to the pledge in the 1950s. It wasn't always there. They added it because I think there was a growing move towards secularism back then, and there was a large group of people that said, no, we're going, this is a Christian nation, and they wanted to assert that. And so they added that to the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. And our motto has been, in God we trust. But our actions are completely, diametrically opposed to anything and everything Christian. For example, the Supreme Court has just recently said, just a few months ago, that same-sex marriage is okay. Goes completely against the Scriptures. And now you cannot say anything against sodomites without fear of being arrested and fined heavily or even imprisoned because you have offended one of these special people who have special privileges, and that's how it is. Do you realize, my friends, that it is illegal to read certain portions of the Bible now in public? Think about it. We pride ourselves on being land of the free, home of the brave. We are neither. We are neither free, and I don't think we're really that brave, or we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. What do you say? Now listen, I preach a lot better if I hear an amen once in a while. It's just the way it works. If I hear crickets, I'm not as good. But if I hear an amen now and then, oh, that gets me going. The Word of God is precious. And I don't know about you, but I'm never, never going to not preach something just because it's politically incorrect. The Bible says, I'll read it to you. I'm not ashamed to read it to you. Let's get our Bibles. Look at the Bible. Leviticus chapter 20. We're going to read something. We're all going to read something illegal. Get ready. Leviticus 20, verse 13. There are more scriptures than just this one. There's several on this same subject. But this is the most clear, the most succinct, to the point Scripture against sodomy in the Bible, I think. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be, what? Put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, this is the Bible. I have just read to you something illegal to say. Uh-oh. Well, I hope I never go to jail for preaching the Word of God. I hope I don't. But if I am ever faced with that, I pray that I will have the courage and the determination to say, well, you just go ahead and put me in jail if you want to, but I'm not changing what I said. It was the Word of God. I can't change the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Amen? Amen. The world has changed. But I'm not going to change with the world. How about you? What? Thank you. Now listen, I wrote an article not long ago called Pastor Kimball is a Dinosaur by the Dinosaur. And I mean that. I said the world has changed and I'm not going to change with it. The church has changed and I have no desire to change with the church. I'm going to stick to the Word of God. Amen? Now, there may be a time when you and I might have to face a confrontation or a conflict because of what we believe. And I pray that none of us have to face that, but let's just look at the facts. The way the world is, it's possible, and actually it's very likely in this day and age that we will face conflict and controversy because of our faith as Christians and our adherence to the Word of God. The Word of God is more and more politically incorrect, and they are more and more adamant that you will be politically correct. They never say it, but if you don't go with the flow, as they say, you're in danger of being imprisoned being fined. Remember the lady here, right here in Kentucky, Kim Davis. You went to the rally, didn't you? I read about that. And I'm glad if I'd have been anywhere near here, I would have gone too. Now, I don't know. I don't want to address anything in her life. I just want to address one thing that she did. And that is this. She, as a county clerk and as a Christian, she couldn't bring herself to issue marriage licenses to sodomites or to lesbians. She did not do it. She didn't do it. And for that, everyone focused on her. So now all of a sudden people came from all over the state to get a license at her county. Just targeting her. The whole world was against her. She was all over the world. The internet, news, she was all over the world. Did she waver? No, not to my knowledge. She did not waver. And they said, by what authority do you refuse to issue us a marriage license? And she looked right in the eye. She said, by God's authority. I say, God bless her. And when she was she found herself in jail, I sent emails, you know, some of you might have got them. Pray for Kim Davis. And a lot of people prayed for her, and she was released. But that kind of thing is going to happen more and more and more as public officials, if they will have the guts to do it, stand up for righteousness and refuse unrighteousness, they're going to suffer the consequences. I wish there was so many that Kim Davis didn't stand out, but that's just not the case. Most of the people in her position just, well, it's my job. I don't like it, but we've got to get to the place where we're going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. What? No matter what. So I want to talk to you about commitment. Let's turn to the book of Joshua. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, God forbid, but if it should seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, everybody say it with me, we will serve the Lord. Did you mean it? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Doesn't matter what the government says. Doesn't matter what our friends may say. Doesn't matter what anybody says. We need to say to ourselves and to our families, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to talk to the men right now. Men, we're in charge of our homes. Now, to look at the nation and sitcoms, if you ever, and I don't recommend you even watch them, but if you've ever watched one, you know that if you look at a sitcom, the children are in charge of the whole family, and then there's the mother, and the father's an absolute idiot. Absolute idiot in most of these sitcoms. And God is never mentioned. Well, we find an order in the Word of God where God is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You got to seek God first. And then under God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, under God is the man. And then under the man is the woman. And then under the woman is the children. God, man, woman, children. The world has that turned completely upside down. The children are in charge. The mother is next in line, always sides with the children. The father's a complete idiot, and there's no God at all. What is most important isn't even mentioned, and the ones that are the lowest on the totem pole, so to speak, are running everything. It's no wonder the world is in the mess that it's in. And you know, we all know who's running Hollywood. Dare I say it? The Jews are running Hollywood. They're not going to portray biblical standards. If you're waiting for Jews to portray biblical standards on television, don't hold your breath. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. Are you still with me? I call heaven and earth to record against you, this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. He says, choose life. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. He tells us what to choose because honestly, we're too stupid to make the right choice. Choose life. He tells us, choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live. Men, we've got to make sure that our family understands that we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choices that we make will affect not only us, but our children. And it could affect our children to many generations. If we make the wrong choice, if we don't choose life, if we don't choose the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't choose to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if that's not a priority, the priority of our life, it's going to rub off on our children. And it'll rub off on their children. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you need to make sure that your family understands that we are going to serve the Lord in this family. The Lord God Jehovah. Once you've made your choice, we must choose. And I say, choose life. I say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Choose you this day who you will serve. And don't waver in your service to that one that you have chosen. And once you have chosen, made your choice, you order your life according to your choice. You got to have the right priorities. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, again, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will fall into place. Everything else will be provided. Everything else, you will never want or lack anything if you choose to serve the Lord. Now, some people may think, well, I don't know. And people get into the idea, well, I don't know that I can tithe because if I tithe, that's just less money and I can hardly pay my bills already. I understand. I do. The economy now is terrible. And I've got a large family. I'm a walking, talking, living, breathing miracle. I don't have a job. My wife doesn't have a job. I've got 10 children. I don't know how we make it. I live by faith. And it's scary sometimes. I don't. I don't know how long I've not had a paycheck. My wife doesn't have a paycheck. She stays at home with the children. Amen. We homeschool. We raise our children the way the Bible says to raise them. How do we make it? I don't know. But we do. Praise God, we do. And I've known abundance. I've known famine. But God always takes care of his people. If we're faithful to him, he'll be faithful to us. Do you agree? Do you believe it? Once we've made our choice, we must set our priorities in order. And that means we got to clean house sometimes. And it may be that even some of you here need to clean house. Maybe there's some books on the bookshelf that need to be taken out and thrown away. Maybe the television needs to be thrown out the window. Whatever. If it keeps you from your choice and living according to that choice you've made, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If anything keeps you from that, it is a stumbling block to you. That may not be anything bad necessarily, but if it's a stumbling block to you it's bad. You hear what I'm saying? If it keeps you from the Lord, if it keeps you from His Word, if it keeps you from spending time in prayer, it is something you don't need. You may think you need it. You may desperately think you need it, but you don't need it. It's not good for you if it keeps you from the Lord. How many of you have seen this? You've been at the mall, and you've seen young people do this. Now, to do it faithfully and to give you a good example, I'd have to do it a lot longer. I don't have the time. By the way, those of you who are listening, and you can't see me, I was staring at a cell phone, and this is how a lot of young people are. They have bad necks because they're always like this. I saw a picture on the internet, maybe you saw it too, a group of teenagers at a mall. They were there together. Not one of them was talking to each other. They were all on their cell phone, either playing a game or texting somebody. Now, does that make any sense at all? They were there together, friends together, joyful time, right? No, they're all idiots, right? Some people, their phone is a hindrance to them. Now, I like this thing. You know what? I like being able to find things on it, ask it a question. If someone has a question they ask me and I don't know the answer, let me ask my phone. And I ask my phone. It's a smart phone. It's smarter than me. So it's something good to have, right? It gives me directions. I got here with this thing. I didn't have to look at a map, not once. I had this. It took GPS. And this is handy to have, but my friends, if it's a hindrance to you, if it keeps you from the Lord Jesus Christ, if it makes you stumble and fall into sin, get rid of it. There's people in the pew, maybe not in this pew, I hope not, but in pews across America, they're addicted to pornography because they have it on their phone. You can get anything on this thing. So it's good and it's bad. There are preachers addicted to pornography because of their phone. It's a shame. You know, I know many of you, and you know me, but you don't know me like I know me. And I don't know you like you know you. You are the only one really that knows you, and you don't even know you as good as he knows you. You're the only one that knows what you do when you're all alone. You're the only one that knows your true spiritual condition. Now, I want you to just think about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Prioritize your life according to that choice. There may be some things in your life you need to get rid of. In the Old Testament, at the time of the Passover, the father of the house was to get all the leaven out of the house. It wasn't the mother's job, even though she's the one that probably handled it the most. It was the father's job, get all the leaven out of the house. Guys, it's our job to see to it that leaven is not present in the home. Leaven meaning that which is sinful, that which would lead us or cause us to stumble into sin. If that daughter has a paperback novel that you don't think is appropriate, tell her you're going to have to get rid of that. And if she says, what? I've heard young people talk to their parents like you wouldn't talk to a dog. And I always think, you know, I really feel bad for them, but it's possibly the way that they raised their child. I mean, if you let them get away with it, they're going to do it. I've heard people, I've heard children in the mall and, you know, wherever, public places. I've heard children scream at their parents and say, "I hate you." It's funny, though. The children in families where there's no discipline usually hate their parents. But the children in homes where there is good, godly Christian discipline and punishment when it needs it, those children love their parents. Now, go figure that one. I don't know. Hit your child, they love you. Don't hit them, they hate you. Figure that out. I mean, I can't figure that out, except that God tells us to discipline our children. When I say hit, I mean spank with a paddle. I don't mean sock them, although sometimes you might feel like it. Anybody who's raised children know exactly what I'm talking about. Godly discipline leads to that bond, that love, that child loves you for taking care of them the way God says to take care of them. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Getting anything out of this? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, that acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God? I'm just asking the question. You don't have to answer. Think about it, though. Is your life a sacrifice given unto God? Or is it all about you? It's something we don't really notice unless we stop and think about it. I mean, we can easily slip back into me, 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 I, very easily. We're just that way. That's the way we are from the time we come out of the womb. It's all about me. A little child doesn't have to be taught to be selfish. It comes naturally. It's something we have to fight all of our life. But if you've made the choice to seek Him first, you've got to order your life accordingly. And your life should be and will be a living sacrifice. And we will not be conformed to the world. We will not find joy and pleasure in watching movies that are vulgar and obscene. We will not delight in drunkenness. We will not delight in pornography. We will not delight in those things that take us away from God. We will delight in those things which draw us closer to God. We will delight in that hour of prayer that we spend each day. We will delight in that time of Bible study alone with God. Alone with God. We will delight in that. That will be so much of an attraction to us, we won't care about these other things if we seek Him first. If you can ever find one and get one, find a book called Alone with God. I think it'll change your life. I can't remember the author's name right now, but you ask me later and I can tell you, I hope. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do we wash our mind? Washing with the water of what? The Word of God. That's how we transform our minds. So my brother, sister, dear, this morning, if you delight in things that are worldly, there's something wrong with your walk with Christ. Number three, teach your children well. Kind of covered this a little bit already. But Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way that he should go. In the original language there, in the Hebrew, it is the idea of to box in. And if you know anything about ranching or cattle, you've heard the term the loading chute. And what they do, they round up the cattle and they point them towards this loading chute. And that's all, they can't go this way, they can't go that way. There's only one way to go, and up, that's up the loading chute. That's what it's talking about. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's also kind of like a catechism. Now, we're not Catholic here. We're very decidedly Protestant. And catechism is usually thought of as a Catholic word, but it's really just teach them. Questions, answers, questions, answers. And it's a training in that way. We should be doing that with our children. Sometimes at Bible time, I'll say, tell me about Saul. Tell me about James. Tell me about John the Baptist, you know, and they'll tell me. And by the way, we have Bible time in our home twice a day, every morning, every evening. And I think that it's done wonders for our family. It's done wonders for me, personally, my wife, our family. This is all they've ever known. People come up to me and they say, you've got such well-behaved children. How do you do it? Total strangers. We'll be at a restaurant somewhere and somebody will come up to me and say, your children are so well-behaved, especially when they were younger. They would sit still and they wouldn't wander all over the restaurant. They'd say, how do you do it? I say, I raise my children the way the Bible says to raise children. And sometimes they'll go, I never thought of that. Oh, the look on their face. Huh? Oh. They don't want to be nice, they don't want to be mean, especially if they were just so nice to you and telling you, oh, you've got wonderful children, so they're going to just accept it. Oh, okay. Makes sense. Raise them the way the Bible says to raise them. They'll turn out right. Don't do it. They won't. Doesn't that make perfect sense? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, thou shalt teach them, talking about the laws of God, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now this says, according to this, the word of God should be the center of our life. But how many families, it's not the center of their life? And I ask you, is the Word of God the center of your life? Do you discuss the Scriptures at home? A lot of people, when they get together with their family, they don't talk about the Lord. They don't talk about the Bible. They talk about what they've been doing. They talk about what they plan to do, what's going on at work, whatever. Very seldom does the Word of God come up at a family gathering. This should not be. It should be normal every day in your home. And I'm talking to guys again. Every day in your home, it's your responsibility to make sure that the Word of God is discussed in your home. It's your responsibility to see to it that prayer is present in your daily life. One of the saddest verses in all of the Bible is found in the book of Judges. So turn with me to the book of Judges, and I want to read to you one of the saddest and one of the most astounding, amazing verses in the Word of God. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Are you ready? Saddest, perhaps, verse in the Word of God. One of the most unbelievable verses in the Word of God. Here we go. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. That generation was gathered to their fathers. Now, what generation is this talking about? It's talking about the generation that went into the promised land. Joshua and the children of Israel that went into the promised land. That generation died. The very next generation did not know the Lord, neither the things that God had done for Israel. I can't understand this. These are the grandchildren of the ones that saw the fire by night and the cloud by day, and they were led through the wilderness, wanted for nothing. Their shoes didn't wear out. They crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground. Their grandchildren did not know the Lord. Two generations. One, two, and then that next one did not know the Lord. To me, that's just absolutely amazing. Did they never talk about what had happened? Was it so commonplace to them that they didn't say anything to their children, their grandchildren, about what God had done for them? See, this happened to our ancestors, and it's happening today. The children and grandchildren, my grandparents were the most... My grandmother and her siblings were the most Christian people I ever knew. And they would talk about the Lord. They'd sing songs, they'd sing hymns when we got together as a family. And they told their children. And every night my grandmother records, and I'm so glad that I have this record. My grandmother records that every night in their home they had devotionals. They prayed. They read the Word of God. That my great-grandfather read the Bible to his family. That next generation, I don't know that all of them did. My generation, I believe I'm the only one that reads the Word of God to my family. And I better not be the last generation. You understand me? There's nothing more important in life than the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more in this life, nothing more important in this life than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can talk about all kinds of things, and that's fine. We need to be informed. There are conspiracies, and I know that. And there's all kinds of things out there to be alarmed about, and there's all kinds of things that we should know and equip ourselves. But the most important thing, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you know all the migrations, you can rattle it off. You know how Israel left and were taken captive and how they went west and how they ended up in the British Isles and came over. If you know all the migrations, you can tell that story over and over. If you know all the latest conspiracies, you know all of the, you know, whatever you know, all the knowledge you can amass, nothing is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have all of that and you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. Do you understand? The grandchildren of those who saw the fire by night and the cloud in the daytime, they saw the presence of God. Their grandchildren didn't even know who he was or what he had done. Years later, when the Word of God was found and it was read, they all cried. It moved them so much, so greatly. And I'm sure they thought, how did we lose this? How did we ever lose this? Because those who chose to serve the Lord did not order their priorities, their priorities of their life according to their choice. God help us. Let's continue reading. Judges chapter 2, we're still in Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. This is where we are today. We haven't, our forefathers have not told our generation and the future generation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm doing it, but most of my generation is not doing it. They're not teaching their children the Word of God. This is how a people becomes apostate. The parents fail to teach their children the ways of God. And when they fail in doing this, the whole nation suffers. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, little g, and of the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Do we not do this today? Is our people doing this today? Our people is doing this today. They wanted to know the ways of the people around them, the foreigners, those that are not a part of the covenant. What is this fascination that white people have with black people? We want to dress like them. We want to sound like them when we talk. We want to, I want our music to sound African. What is it with us? They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, followed other gods, the gods of people round about them, and bowed themselves down to them, and provoked the Lord to anger. We're doing that. What is this fascination with the heathen cultures? I can understand their fascination with us and our culture, but I cannot understand our fascination with their culture. You walk into the home of some, oh, perhaps an explorer, someone who's been all around the world, and he'll have heathen idols in his home. Why? I don't know if any of you ever knew Pastor Dowsett or Frank Dowsett. Do you even know his name? Yep, okay. And I've known him a long time. He's been dead several years, but he was telling me about someone. He was preaching somewhere, I think. I don't think this was somebody in his congregation, but he was preaching somewhere, and he happened to go to this person's house, and there were some heathen idols in his home. And he said, "Pastor, please pray for me. I'm having these troubles." And he named some troubles that he was having. And he said, "Well, do you see all these heathen idols around you?" And he never thought of that. He got rid of the heathen idols, all those things in his house that shouldn't have been there. And the troubles went away. What is this fascination we have with heathen cultures? It is a detriment to us. Verse 13, "And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel." Does this sound familiar? I think he's angry at us now. I think he's very angry at his people. "And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them." Is he doing that now? I think so. And you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you see in verse 1 through 14, all of the blessings that we will enjoy if we are faithful to God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country. I mean, all these blessings, you read them, and they're wonderful. And we have experienced all of those blessings in our national history. But from verse 15 on, it says, "If you forsake me, these are all the curses that you will not be able to escape if you turn away from me." And every last one of them we are experiencing. And I want to bring your attention to one in particular. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 43. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 43, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low." Is that happening? The stranger that is among thee, of course, the foreigners, the heathen, will rise up above us very high, and we will be brought down very low. The reason we are being invaded by foreigners. I mean, they're coming over up into Germany and all across Europe. They're just like a tidal wave of these brown people coming into the white countries. And it's been this way here for so long, I can't even remember when it wasn't like that. Coming from south of the border, coming from across the ocean. Everybody wants to come to America. I wish the Statue of Liberty said, go back where you came from. That's what I wish it said, but it doesn't. But the reason it's like that, they could have never done this on, you know, just no people can defeat us. No people can overpower us if we are obedient to God. Nobody. But nobody. We cannot stop the hordes of heathen coming into our land if we don't turn back to God. It's just going to happen. God's word is true. God's word can be depended on. And if he says, if you deny me, if you turn away from me, I'm going to send so many foreigners into your land, they'll rise above you very high and you'll be brought down very low. If God says that, it's going to happen. God has done this. Not ISIS. And not even the Mossad. God is causing this influx of foreigners because we have turned away from our God. Can I hear an amen on that? We don't like that, but I believe it's true. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. That's coming. Are you ready? Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. If we're not already there, we're coming there pretty quick. My brother, sister, dear, we really have no place to look but up. We have gotten ourselves into such a mess. The only place left to look is up. We can't look down hardly anymore because we've hit rock bottom, I think. If we haven't hit it, I shouldn't say that because every time I say we've hit rock bottom, we get a little deeper down there. Well, let's turn to the book of Psalms. I want to encourage you today. I want to end today by encouraging you. We are in a dreadful, horrible, terrible place in our national history. The many nations of Israel have turned from their God and they are suffering. We are suffering the consequences. But I'm just speaking for myself and my family. We will serve the Lord no matter what happens. And I pray that you will say the same. And I want to leave you with these words of encouragement. First of all, we do know how things end, don't we? But between here and there, it's going to be a hard road to hoe. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Amen. And someone would say, well, that's not very Christian to be excited about the enemies being cut down like grass and withering like the green herb. Well, I look forward to that day, and I am a Christian. How is it not Christian to be excited about God's word? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Yeehaw! And wither as the green herb. Hey, these are wicked people, and they're tearing our country apart. I'm going to be so glad when they get cut down like grass. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be glad. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed, if you trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in him. And if your delight is in him, how can he not give you the desire of your heart? Because the desire of your heart is him. He's just waiting for us to reach out to Him. He's just waiting for His dear children to love on Him. I love it when my daughters and my sons, my younger son, 10 years old, crawls into my lap and loves on me. I love that. I love it when my daughters rub my shoulders or stroke my hair. They love on me. And I love on them. We love each other. I love that. Would He not love it for us to love on Him? This is God's love letter to us. You can look at our relationship with God in many different ways. One is father and children. And another one is bridegroom and bride. I don't know about you, but when my daughter was in a courtship and she got a letter from Matthew, because they live in two different states. We live in Texas. He lives in Arkansas. Whenever my daughter got a letter from them during their courtship, from him during their courtship, you should have seen her eyes light up. She, oh! She didn't get, let's say this is a letter. She didn't get, you got a letter from Matthew. Oh, okay. Put it over there go on about our work I'll read it later and then go to sleep. Oh, wait, I forgot to read. Forgot to read my letter from Matthew. No, it wasn't like that. As soon as she got it, she'd open it and she'd read it. She wanted to hear. She wanted to read what he had written to her. Because why? She loves him. And we should be that excited about reading our Bibles. If we're not, there's something wrong. That love, that first love, has grown cold. We must delight ourselves in the Lord. We must commit our way to the Lord. Verse 5. Commit our way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. And then rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. When the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Amen. So, my friends, it is bad out there, but keep looking up and keep living for the Lord Jesus Christ. As for you and your house, you serve the Lord. Amen. He will keep us.